Let's take a moment and look at our scripture lesson for the day, which is found in Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 20 through 28. Then came the mother of Zebedee's sons. Came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand, the other on your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Do you not know what you ask? Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said to him, "We are." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May God bless the reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was in high school, I went to a school in Macon that then was called Lanier High School. It's not there anymore. But it was a public school that required ROTC. Now, you have to understand that I am one of the most uncoordinated people you know when it comes to marching and things like that. So I was not really very good at what they required me to do. As a matter of fact, we had parade day one year, and we all lined up, and we paraded across the field, and my parents were there, and I could never get in step with those folks around me. It was just terrible. It was embarrassing. But my dad was such a nice guy that he went back to our church and to friends he knew, and he said, "My son was the only one in step that day." He was very much like this mother of James and John. Now, what mother doesn't want what's best for her children? Most mothers do, don't they? So she came to Jesus and she asked a question on behalf of her sons. Now, what was the question? Oh, not much. Just, one of my sons sit at your left hand and one of my sons sit at your right hand in the kingdom of heaven? That's all he was asking. She was asking. Now, keep in mind, the other 10 disciples were standing there hearing all of this. And she was not just asking, "Can they sit at your left hand and your right hand?" She was saying, "They are the greatest among these 12. They are obviously the best. I'm their mother. I would know." So, what about it, Jesus? Can one sit at your left hand and one sit at your right hand in the kingdom of heaven? And just prior to that conversation that this woman had, Jesus had just told the disciples, not for the first time, but he said, "You know, we're getting ready to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested there. I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to be resurrected." So that was fresh on their minds. And it was as though this mother was saying, "Well, never mind that you're going to Jerusalem and be killed and be resurrected. What's really important is, can James and John sit at your right hand and your left hand? That's what's really important." It was an awkward moment, wasn't it, for the 10 other disciples who were hearing all this conversation? And let me tell you something. This mother wasn't just asking this question because of her own benefit. She had heard her sons asking this same question. She was just speaking on their behalf, wasn't she? Well, what was a very awkward moment became a teaching moment for Jesus, as it often did. Jesus asked the woman, "Do you have any idea what you're asking? Do you have any concept what you're asking?" Because you see, this mother, just like the 12 disciples, didn't get it. They just didn't get it. time and time again, Jesus had tried to tell them, if you want to be great, you have to be a servant. And they didn't get it. It went right by them. And so this mother says, well, but my sons are really great. So I want one to sit at your left and one at your right. Jesus said, are you able to drink from the same cup that I drink from? In other words, are you willing to face what I'm about to face? Are you willing to suffer what I am about to suffer? And then Jesus illustrated his point. He said, take a look at the leaders of the Gentiles. What do? They flaunt their power. They flaunt their authority. They lord it over their people. And he said, but that's not the way we do business, fellas. That's not what we do. It's not about authority. It's not about power. It's about servanthood. And that's when Jesus said what I think is probably one of the most profound and meaningful things that he ever said, when he said, if you want to be great, then you got to be a servant. And he went on and he said, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As we approach Easter, I think we need to revisit these words. We need to take a look once again at what Jesus is saying, because you see, we got it all messed up. We don't understand this servanthood business. The world teaches us something totally different. The world teaches us you got to be at the top of the corporate ladder. You got to have the biggest house and the nicest car, and then you'll be great. And Jesus comes along and says, whoa, wait a minute. If you want to be great, if you really want to be great, you got to be a servant. I sat across the desk from a man in Houston, Texas, some years ago. He had gone to work with this company right out of college. He'd worked for them for 25 years. It's one of the largest commercial development companies in the United States. They built all these Galleria malls that many of you have been to, and many other wonderful structures around the country. He had climbed that corporate ladder. He was a great success story. He was an executive with the company. He said, I live in a multi-million dollar house. I drive the nicest cars you can buy. My kids have all the toys they could want. Life is good. I'm living the American dream. Or at least I was until one night not long ago, he said, when I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard the voice of God just as clearly as you hear my voice right now. And the voice said, you spent your entire adult life accumulating things for yourself and your family. It's time now for you to start giving back. It's time for you to start serving. It's time for you to start giving. And he said, I woke up from that dream or that vision in a cold sweat, and I realized that he was absolutely right, that I need to spend my life in serving others. And that's exactly what he devoted himself to. He got involved in prison ministry. He got involved with Habitat for Humanity. He got more involved with his church. He gave away countless amounts of money. And as far as I know, is still doing it to this day. He got it. He finally got it. He finally understood what it really means to be a success, what it really means to be great. I am truly inspired and energized by so many people in this church who understand greatness through servanthood. So many of you. When I was preparing this sermon, some of the images of these people were going through my mind, and I mentioned some of these people with fear and trembling, because there's so many more people than just those I can mention. But let me mention a few. How many of you had driven on this campus and you have seen Jan LaDuke on her hands and knees pulling up weeds in the flower gardens or planting flowers around this campus? Sometimes when it's 100 degrees and she's got this wide brim hat on, you might not know it. She also volunteers countless hours with Habitat for Humanity. How many of you have seen Jeff and Sue Tennant riding a tractor around this campus, pushing dirt, cutting grass, trimming limbs, hauling off limbs, everything they can do to keep this campus beautiful for all of us to enjoy? as we drive on to the campus. We had a discussion the other day about how long Bob Edmonds had headed up the building committee, had built all these buildings for this wonderful campus. Most people can't even remember how long it's been. It's been so many years, 15, 16 years, that he has overseen the building committee. But did you also know that Bob Edmonds is involved in the Kairos ministry, spends hours and hours working with prisoners? That's the kind of stuff he does behind the scenes that most people don't even know about. And then I think about Frank Martin. Wow. Passed away last week. His service was yesterday. How many of you have seen Frank Martin walking into this church to teach disciple Bible study when he could hardly put one foot in front of the other? He was so weak. But he was so determined to come and serve, to teach the gospel, to teach the scriptures, that he would come up here when most of us would have stayed home and probably stayed in bed. But that's not the way Frank did things. You see, he was a quiet servant who gave the best he had through servanthood. I picture Joan Cobia working back here in the kitchen, serving the alert group luncheon, serving on Wednesday night to Trinity Town Center, serving the alert folks. Now, Joan would be the first to tell you, I couldn't stand up and speak in front of a group, but I can serve food. That's something I can do. And countless times I've seen her back there serving in the servant line. I think about Randy Caton, who is an oral surgeon, who's given countless hours providing medical care for the poor in this community, who's led mission teams to some of the poorest countries in the world to provide dental care for those who couldn't afford it. Why? Because he cared about these people. And finally, I think about the hundreds of people in this church who brought so many canned goods and so much food that it just about stacked halfway to the ceiling up here at Thanksgiving. And all those volunteers who came to fill those boxes and give them away to the poor. And I think about all those people who bring toys at Christmas time to give them away to families. And I think about so many people in this church who've gotten it, who understand it, that to be great is to be a servant first. We've done a lot, but there's so much more yet to be done. So many more lives yet to be touched. So many people yet to be ministered to. People who are there waiting for someone to come serve them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we're called to be Christians, we're called to be servants. First and foremost, above everything else. I have a little book called Try Giving Kindness Away. And the whole book talks about this man who made the decision to just be kind to people. It was little short stories, but they were really inspirational. I mean, he would go in a grocery store and say something kind to a clerk or maybe a waitress or somebody. He just went out of his way to do kind deeds for other people. And in his book, he tells about a man who was very successful, owned his own company, apparently a very large guy. But he lived a secret life that nobody knew about, or almost nobody knew about. And that is that any chance he had the opportunity to, he went down to the Boys and Girls Club in town and tutored the students. He also coached some of their teams. And when some of the kids didn't have tennis shoes to wear, he gave them tennis shoes. And he gave them clothes. And if they graduated from high school and they could get into college, he gave them college scholarships. And they didn't even know his name. They just called him the big man. But when the big man died, hundreds of these people, now adults, came to his funeral, most of whom his wife had never met, didn't know anything about him. They came to his funeral to pay tribute to the big man. Here's a person that got it. He understood what it means to be great. Greatness didn't come from owning his own company. It didn't come from acquiring wealth. Greatness came from serving, for doing what he could to serve his fellow man. Jesus had a special place in his heart for servants, didn't he? He was forever telling stories about them. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? What a great story. Samaritans and Jews had nothing to do with each other. But here comes the Samaritan down the road, sees a Jew beaten, left to die in the ditch. risk everything to go down in the ditch to help the man who's dying there. And Jesus said, now there's somebody who's great. There's somebody who's going to inherit the kingdom of God. The one who was willing to get his hands dirty, to go down there where somebody was hurting, and to serve in the name of Christ. Jesus said, when you've done this to the least, or to the last, or to the lost, you've done it for me. The greatest among us, he said, will be a servant. Some of you remember about 3 years ago when my brother Shannon died. I wish you could have known Shannon. He was an orthopedic surgeon in Abilene, Texas for about 27 years. Everybody there knew him. I used to love to go to Abilene because everywhere I went, A, they asked me if Shannon was my brother, or B, because we looked alike, they'd say, are you Shannon Holloway? One day we were in a grocery store, and he had operated on the knee of the clerk at the grocery store, and she said, Dr. Holloway, is that your son with you? I said, yes. He spun me around. He said, you see this bald spot? That's not my son. And then he tried to convince the girl I was older than him. Well, what a lot of people didn't know about Shannon was that he gave away so many of his services. He often treated people and didn't charge them anything at all. I love one story that Shannon used to tell about an old farmer out in West Texas. He owned a little small farm. He barely made enough money to live on it. If he couldn't grow his own food, he probably wouldn't have had enough to live on it. He had no insurance and no money to pay for this surgery. And Shannon said, I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll do this. It was a total hip replacement. He said, I'll do this hip replacement. I won't charge you a dime. He said, the only thing I ask you to do is bring me some peanuts. And the old farmer looked at him and said, peanuts? He said, yeah, and make sure that you bring them to me right out of the field. I want them when they're still green and still fresh. And this farmer said, why in the world do you want peanuts right out of the field? He said, well, I grew up in South Georgia, and I love boiled peanuts. And you can't find them out here in West Texas. And he said, you got to boil them when they're still green and still fresh. So if you'll just bring me a few green peanuts, we'll be even. How about that? And so Shannon did the surgery, didn't charge him for it. Several months went by, and Shannon had forgotten all about it. And one day he came home from work. There was an entire pickup load of green peanuts in his driveway. He said, Troy, there were more peanuts than I could have given to everybody in Abilene, Texas. Now, why did he do it? He was saying, thank you for being a kind, loving servant. Let me tell you something. I don't think my brother was great just because he was a wonderful surgeon. I think he was great because he was a servant. Because he cared about others and gave so much of his time to serve them. Somehow we've got things all mixed up, don't we? We think we've got to be at the top of the corporate ladder to be great. We've got to have the finest house, the finest cars. We've got to walk in the right circles. We got to associate with the right people. We got to sit at the head table. We got to do all these things, and then we'll be great. And Jesus comes along and bursts our bubble. He said, you got it all wrong. You got it all mixed up. Do you want to be great? If you really want to be great, then you got to be a humble servant. The world doesn't teach that. Jesus teaches that, doesn't he? The highest calling that we can have is to be a servant. And Jesus didn't just talk about it. He lived it. He was a model of servanthood. Who can forget at the Last Supper when Jesus got on his hands and knees and washed the feet of his disciples? This wasn't some random act. Jesus was trying to illustrate for them, or in a symbolic way, this is what it means to be great. To be a servant, to be serving others in my name. Do you want to be great? He asked the woman, the mother, "Do you know what you're asking? Do you have any idea what you're asking me when you ask if your sons can sit on my left hand and my right hand? You got it all mixed up. You haven't gotten it. If you want to be great along with the other disciples here, you got to be servants." Let me close with this story. In the early 1980s, I was in school at San Francisco Theological Seminary working on my doctoral program. And we were required to go do all kind of things. We went to San Quentin Penitentiary. We went to some other areas. But we also went down to the inner city of San Francisco where tourists don't go. Let me promise you, tourists don't go there. We went there to work in a soup kitchen. When I walked in the door of that soup kitchen, on the wall was a photograph of a beautiful young woman. I didn't have time to read what was underneath the photograph because I had to go serve in the serving line. And so I went over to serve, and after we had a break in the action there, I talked to this woman who seemed to be in charge of the soup kitchen. I said, "Who is this woman whose photograph is on the wall over there?" And she said, "Oh, she was a wonderful person. She said she was an honor graduate of University of California at Berkeley. She was preparing herself to go to medical school and planned to, I don't remember what her specialty was going to be, but said she just had the brightest future you could ever imagine. But she made one big mistake, and that is that she came to serve one day in the soup kitchen. And when she did, she knew right then that's what God wanted her to do with her life. She didn't go to medical school. As a matter of fact, she said she moved into this community where she worked. She lived among the people she served. And she was thought of as an angel of mercy because she did so many kind things for the street people of San Francisco. One day she was doing something she had done hundreds of times. She was helping someone in the street who was sleeping on the street and was on drugs or alcohol and virtually stoned out of his mind. And as she tried to help him, he assaulted and murdered her. It shook up the whole community. It just shook up everybody that she was killed in such a terrible way. But they decided to name this soup kitchen after her. They put her picture up there, and they started a foundation, and all the money that goes into the foundation is used to help the poor and the homeless and the street people in San Francisco. And I asked the woman, I said, "Did you ever know her?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, I knew her. I knew her real well." She said, "I told her she was crazy. Why in the world would you do something like that? Why would you give up a brilliant career? Why would you give up all the fame and the fortune and everything that you could have had if you had gone to medical school? Why would you do such a thing? That's just the craziest thing I've ever heard of." And then she said, "I'm so glad I didn't talk her out of it. Because she did more good in the 10 years that she worked in that community than most of us do in an entire lifetime." And then she said, "I am her mother. And I have decided to spend my life serving the poor to honor her memory." Do you want to be great? Do you really, really want to be great? Then Jesus said, "You need to be a servant. You need to serve others. And when you serve others, you're serving Christ." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that many of us have not yet gotten it. We just don't understand this concept of greatness because the world teaches us something altogether different. We just hadn't gotten it. We're like the mother who came to you asking if James and John could sit at your left and your right. But beginning this day, help us to understand what it truly means to be great. Lord, make us all servants. Amen.